Good morning, sister inmates. Good morning to you all. Those in front as well as those behind the wall, you're listening to WBAI in New York, 99.5 FM. My name is Bernard White, and this is Wake Up Call. And let me be the first to welcome you to Monday, December 23rd. December 23rd, day after December 22nd. More on that in a moment. It is the 357th day of the year 2002. There are 8 days. Eight. We're into single digits now. 8 days left in the year. Eight and a wake up. 2003 will be here. Let's see, on this day, according to the Associated Press, it's not very good, these things. Highlights. December 23rd of 1823, the poem A Visit from St. Nicholas by Clement C. Moore was published in Troy, New York. You all know that, don't you? In 1783, George Washington resigned as Commander-in-Chief of the Army and retired to his home at Mount Vernon, Virginia. And let's see, 1968, 82 crew members of the U.S. intelligence ship Pueblo were released by North Korea 11 months after they had been captured. In 1987, Lynette Squeaky Frome, serving a life sentence for the attempted assassination of President Ford in 1975, escaped from the Overton Federal Prison for Women in West Virginia. She was recaptured 2 days later. 10 years ago, an American mission to save lives in Somalia. Here we go. An American mission to exercise U.S. muscle in Somalia lost the first of its own when a U.S. vehicle hit a landmine near Bandera, killing civilian Army employees Lawrence N. Friedman of Fayetteville, North Carolina. By the way, this is the same set of troops that were putting little Somalian children over fires and spinning them around. Let me see. 5 years ago, a jury in Denver convicted Terry Nichols of involuntary manslaughter and conspiracy for his role in the Oklahoma City bombing, declining to find him guilty of murder. Woody Allen married Soon Yi Previn in a small ceremony in Venice, Italy. 1 year ago, Israel barred Yasser Arafat from making his annual Christmas visit to Bethlehem, the traditional birthplace of Jesus. Argentina's interim president, Adolfo Rodriguez Sá, was inaugurated. Time magazine named New York City Mayor Rudolph Giuliani its Person of the Year. Birthdays today. Ronnie Shell is 71. Emperor Akihito of Japan is 69. Actor Frederick Forrest is 66. And actor James Stacy, 66. Rock musician Jorma Kaukonen is 62. Rhythm and blues singer Eugene Record of the Shy Lights is 62, huh? Actor comedian Harry Shearer is 59. And I don't know the rest of these people. And I doubt if you do too. No, I'm not saying these people. Actress Estella Warren?
No.
Okay. Actor Adrian Brody?
Vaguely.
No, Brody, not vaguely. Actor Corey Haim is 31.
So far.
See, I told you to know these people. Terry Weeks?
Nope.
39. Since I don't know them,
they don't exist.
That's right. But if today is your birthday, let me be the first to welcome you to your birthday. Happy birthday to you. And all the... boom, 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 boom.
It's the birth anniversary. Is that what we'll call it?
Okay.
An anniversary from 2000 and... Okay, this is 2002.
In the history of
and
birth.
And so the birth anniversary of... What should we call it? Because it's an entity.
What's that?
The cool.
The unpleasantness.
The late unpleasantness.
Before you all move on into unpleasantry, I just want to wish Reggie Johnson happy birthday, Reggie.
The very Reggie who's here?
The very Reggie
I didn't
who's
say
back
something.
Hey.
He's so modest.
And I heard yesterday Rosalie Hoffman.
Had another birthday?
And, yeah, and her sister, Jerry.
Right, she's got a twin.
Her birthday right? Has, her sister has the same birthday as hers?
Absolutely, same birthday, man.
Right.
I know she has.
You don't like share.
She has right. Share everything she has.
Maybe it's because she's a twin. Maybe that's why they
oh, you
have
think
the same
so?
Birthday.
Oh, thank you very much, man. Thanks. Hmm. That clarifies that.
Speaking of Rosalie, thought for today. Rosiness is not a worse is not a worse window pane than gloomy gray when viewing the world. Rosiness is not a worse window pane than gloomy gray when viewing the world. And the Associated Press thought that that was worthy of
sort of
being thought for today.
Who said that?
Grace Paley, American writer.
Writer.
Well, here we are. Mm-hmm. Good morning. Janice K. Bryan.
Good morning, Bernard White.
And how are you today?
I'm fine.
Yeah? Everything is cool?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's cool. It's pretty good. It's 40 degrees.
Yeah. You know, it was today, as you said, is the anniversary of the unpleasantness. I guess that's what we'll call it.
Mm-hmm.
And, it, let me see here.
It's been kind of weighing on me because I wish that, of course we wish it hadn't happened, but it set into motion some things that have, even though we're back, they still leave you unhappy.
Mm-hmm.
And,
one of the things that I think that, is most tragic is that the friendships that were lost.
Yeah.
There were some really, what we thought were good friendships that were lost as a result of what took place on December 22nd of the year 2000. And we're going to take you back to that day in a moment. For those of you who don't know and hear all this rumbling every now and then, it'll come up. But on December 22nd of 2000, in the early morning hours, there was, I guess what we could really call a corporate takeover of WBAI, a hostile corporate takeover in its most descriptive sense, where... a group of individuals decided that they were going to skip the rules, skip the established protocol, and just fire people and take over the radio station. Those people that were here inside of WBAI saw an opportunity to make some money. To get a higher position, to get some authority, to get some power. There were a few folks who just had the belief, well, one in particular, that they were just more intelligent than everybody else. And it was just interesting to, in hearing a presentation that was given by this individual, where they said some prophetic words that they claimed that their mother told them that the higher a monkey climbs, the more you see his ass. What she should have said is the higher a monkey climbs, the more she shows her ass. But The coup here was engineered by Eutrice Lade, who was a producer here at WBAI, and carried out by some others who were not as articulate, but equally as greedy and short-sighted.
And sometimes I think misguided, too.
I'm misguided also, because that's the short-sightedness, I guess. The record reflects that this takeover almost destroyed WBAI and Pacifica. And I think at its very base was a combination of greed, opportunism, and ego. And you have never seen an ego like the ego that was guiding this one. There was a disregard for integrity and a belief that they were, well, we already talked about their intelligence. But we went through 13 months attempting to try and regain the radio station. I always had the belief that we would get back.
Yeah, you said that from the beginning.
Day one, because I didn't believe that there was, that you could make this lie stick. First of all, our listeners are astute. One of the things that kind of weaves all of our listeners together, even though we have different views about everything else, or varying views, is the notion of what is right, that when an injustice is perpetrated. I think people come here because they want to hear about the injustices and they want to begin to do something about it. And, you know, just very simple logic that if what was being done was a good thing, it could have been done during the day. You know, folks could have come in during the day, met with the staff that was going to be terminated and say, okay, this is your last day, pack your stuff and leave. But this was done in the middle of the night, in the wee hours of the morning. And we know who comes in the middle of the night. The White Citizens Council makes plans in the day and carries them out in the middle of the night. The Ku Klux Klan rides in the middle of the night. The Joint Terrorist Task Force comes in the middle of the night. And folks know that anything that happens under this cloak of darkness cannot be a good thing. So our listeners, I knew that our listeners would not stand for it, and I knew that the kind of programming that they would put on would not be representative of the best of what WBAI could be. And that it would just be
the ones who came in?
The ones who came in. And it would just be a matter of time. It took a little longer than I thought. I didn't think it would take that long, but I did believe that the listeners would show their disdain for those individuals who had taken it over. What happened is that following this announcement, I'll let you know what happened.
And you're listening to WBAI FM in New York, 99.5 on your FM dial. The time is now 1:48. Just about 1:48 in the a.m., and we just wanted to interrupt the show, just take a little break here for a especially important announcement, and to get a good announcement is Eutrice Lade.
We interrupt this program.
I know.
We interrupt
not the Hindenburg or anything like that.
Well, thank you, and as usual, a very, very good and rewarding show. And in fact, I was stunned with a... I was thinking that you may be too young to remember people like the Shy Lights and stuff like
no,
that.
No, we wish we were, but we're afraid not.
Yeah. Well, it's sounding good out there. Well, I understand you're getting a couple of calls, and it's appropriate that we should break something on this show. Mm-hmm. Break something. Break this just in.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say that there has been a change in management, and I'm delighted to say that I've been named the interim
station manager of WBAI,
and I'm hoping that in the coming weeks, as we face a tough hill to climb, that we will find the energy and the mutual respect and all the good things that we can summon up within ourselves to meet the challenges ahead, and we'll do that. In the meantime, there is no need, there is no coup, it's just me, and we are doing some changes. Everything remains the same, all programs will continue as always, and as you've been witnessing, you've been here for some time, I don't think you can describe the atmosphere as being what, no SWAT team is here, and nobody is being patted down, and no metal detectors or anything like that. We're just making a change and we'll be okay. So I want to continue doing the work that we all have been dedicated to doing, and also to put some extra energy into that and make sure that we can climb this hill. We can do it. And together we'll continue to do that just as well. Just to let everybody know, everything is fine. There's no major concern. There's no need to worry. And as I said, the atmosphere here in the station is not at all something of despondency or hopelessness. And certainly it does not look like a tense situation. Everything is fine and calm. And you've been doing your program as always. So continue.
And,
you know, I want the Creative Unity group to really stretch out this year. And really, really stretch out, you know what I mean? And get some serious, serious stuff happening. Not that you haven't been, but, you know, no changes in programming. No people need to worry about anything. There's nothing going to happen. And it's just simply a change in administration that happens every day. And I intend to, with the cooperation of staff, that we usher in a whole new era here at WBAI, one of mutual respect and confidence in each other, and a rededication to serious work. So thanks for letting me barge in on your program like this.
No problem. I don't want to say to the listeners out there, let's take it easy on our phone lines because they will melt.
Yeah.
They will melt.
And I'm sure at a later point, you know, there'll be, like, news disseminated through other programming over the course of the day with, you know, with, like, full details of what's happening.
Yeah, there will be that. Later on in the day, once we get some things out of the way here, some technical things that we're looking at, as soon as that is done, you know, I'll be available, and it will all be laid out. But I couldn't have thought of a more hospitable group to break this news to. This just in.
And as I've always wanted to say for my 37 years on this planet, I actually have the opportunity to say, and now we return you to your regularly scheduled program.
Which be us, I guess.
Yeah, that's us.
That's y'all.
Be us.
Right. So say goodnight.
Oh, well, we'll keep going.
Well, say goodnight to me.
Oh, good night.
Oh.
I guess we were raising a barn or something.
Okay. Good night, and continue your good show.
And back to our song.
And back to your regularly scheduled program.
We're in the middle of Skip Scarborough, said right now.
Yes, we were.
Back to Skip. Here's a segment you've just never heard on radio before. Yeah.
Pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces. Sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies. And I got truth, hold on to
director of the Pacifica Foundation. It is necessary that I interrupt your regularly scheduled program to speak to those that are being misled by a small group of individuals. This past weekend, a female employee of the Pacifica station KPFT in Houston was physically attacked by a man participating in an anti-Pacifica demonstration. This female employee and the KPFT general manager were greeting guests as they arrived at the station property for an evening concert when she was assaulted by a male demonstrator. The man jumped on her back, taunted her, attempted to throw her to the ground. And while this was happening, three other demonstrators just stood by and watched. They did not even attempt to help her or to do anything to stop this man. It was a KPFT volunteer who came to her rescue. And I want to personally thank this volunteer for his heroic deed. Friday's attack comes just 2 weeks after. 2 weeks after the general manager, also a female, at our New York station, WBAI, who was physically attacked in her own studio. In her own studio, as she sat in front of a mic and attempted to interview a congressman. These last incidents occurred after a series of unreported acts of violence and threats, racial and sex-baiting intimidation tactics employed by the anti-Pacifica facet throughout this network in all five signal areas. KPFA in Berkeley, WBAI in New York, WPFW in Washington, KPFK in L.A., and KPFT in Houston. Participants of the Anti-Pacifica group have harassed and are being encouraged to continue this campaign of physical and emotional violence on employees, national board members, volunteers, as well as their family members, relatives, including young children, wives, grandparents. Elderly and sickly parents have been subjected to ugly email messages, death threats, late-night phone calls, uninvited visits, not only to their places of employment, but at their homes. As the originator of listener-supported radio and alternative programming, the Pacifica Foundation remains the only true voice of the voiceless. Pacifica supports free speech and the right to actively assemble. However, we do not, I repeat, do not condone, nor will we tolerate violence. If you are a participant in the anti-Pacifica group, you have the right to be vigilant in your beliefs, but it is not your right. In fact, it is illegal to subject violence on others. It is also immoral and irresponsible to use violence as a method of protest in your attempt to steal the five radio stations funded by individuals that are true believers and supporters of the Pacifica Foundation's mission. As the executive director of the Pacifica Foundation, I am committed to ensuring that Pacifica remains an organization that embraces all views, races, sexes, and creeds, and that the individuals, Pacifica employees, board members, and volunteers dedicated to this belief are free to support Pacifica in the manner in which they choose, without threats to themselves or their loved ones. We have thus far tolerated the slander, lies, self-accusations, attempts to disrupt daily operations, and a strategic effort to create an atmosphere of crisis at Pacifica. But we will not accept violence. All those that are opposed to Pacifica
could tell that I was lying.
However, no. That are engaged in violence and threats will be prosecuted to the full extent of
the law. So it was hard to face our friends.
I thank you for your time.
I gave up on
my regular schedule.
I know. I meant to show them all.
Be
could have been a lot worse. So, the campaign of vilification did not work. Our listeners were not tricked into you know, they were hearing on a regular basis what was taking place. Yet they were being told on an hourly basis that what they were hearing really wasn't true. For instance, there was this call for transparency. However, as soon as the takeover took place, there was no transparency at all. You couldn't even find out how much money was being raised during the fund drives. People were not allowed into the building. This is pre 9/11. They weren't allowed in. And
especially us.
Yeah, yeah. And it was people would an attempt to lead people to believe that a small group of employee, disgruntled employees were the reason, was the reason why all of this was taking place, without any regard for the intelligence of our listeners, who knew exactly that they were not going to support something that they, it was like bait and switch. They were, had pledged for a certain type of radio station and then found out that that radio station was not what they had pledged for.
In this business about violence, the biggest threat of violence I saw came from that side the day that that the new board came in.
Well, you were here that next morning.
Oh, that next morning, yeah.
What was it like being in here the next morning?
It was very, in my mind, it's very foggy and hazy. It was like a bad dream. It was really strange. And it was just things were happening that didn't, it was surreal, that you couldn't believe were happening. It was very quiet. They were having a party until somebody knocked their food over. And then,
you did it, but I mean, it was done by accident.
Yes, it was, as my son used to say, it was on an accident when he was little. It was just very strange. One thing that I'll never forget is, you know, we talk, Mimi and I are friends, so I can say this. You know, Mimi is really, Mimi Rosenberg, she's a real fighter. But this was one time that, you know, she's fought on different, you know, for people's housing and all kinds of issues since I've known her. But that morning, the betrayal, I think, that she felt and the anger, because I was inside and I could hear her outside. It was just, it was really hard. But all of us were feeling betrayed, I guess. I know I was. The whole thing was just, people were outside looking at each other. We just couldn't believe it was happening.
Yeah.
And I said then and I say now, I think that some of the people involved had some emotional problems.
Yeah.
And I still believe that. I think it was more than, you know, more than cool. I think that there really is something wrong with a couple of folks that were involved with it.
I think that one of the first programs to be aired that morning that had any conversation at all, though limited about it, was David Rothenberg's program. Good morning, David.
Good morning. I didn't know what was happening that morning. The Utrice came in and came on the air, and I was in a daze. That was the morning of the muffin incident.
but it was you felt like you were in a daze.
Well, after the program, I had been told that, that's when I was told that you had been locked out, Bernard, and I went and spoke with Utrice after the program, and she said, Bessie Wash is the person to talk to. She's here, and she made all the decisions, and I went to Bessie Wash, and I said, what's happening? And she said, you have to go to Utrice. She's making all the decisions. But you know what, from the whole year, what astounds me more than anything else, I was at a Christmas party a few weeks ago, and somebody said, whatever happened at BAI? And I said, that's interesting, because one of the most dramatic stories in media, never covered by the paper of record or by any of the papers, the fact that the listeners litigated to regain a station is an astounding story. The fact that it went unreported, really, in the daily press is, those of us who watch the press shouldn't be shocked, but this was really an extraordinary omission. Rallies with 1,000 people showing up down at the Union Hall, and the takeover board meeting where hundreds were left out on the street because the room was so packed. The fact that that the newspapers never reported this. And in fact, they covered the Berkeley upheaval the year earlier with much more extensive coverage than they did what happened in New York City. And I don't know what that's about. The fact that it was a basic freedom of expression issue, First Amendment issue, a coup, and that the listeners took back the station. How dramatic that is.
A lot of drama. It would have been a really good story. Well, it is a good story.
I think it still is a good story.
It is a good story, but part of the story now is the fact that they never covered it.
Mm.
And I don't know if any of them could do that. Maybe one of the magazines. God knows it wouldn't be The Nation.
Hmm.
Which has failed us terribly, right. And I canceled my subscription.
I was looking at the, while we were out, just, you know, you a lot of times when you're working here, you don't get a chance to hear the programs. So I listened to a lot of the programs that were on the air.
They were brutal.
They were extremely brutal. A complete departure of the kind of respect that we try and get our producers to exhibit toward the listeners. And there was a period in which every call was pretty much an enemy call.
Say goodbye.
say goodbye. Or, you know, some other way of dismissing legitimate concerns that the listeners were raising. It was a really, really tragic moment in BAI's history.
I must admit, Bernard, that in the weeks following, I was trying to figure it all out. I had tried to have meetings with the Utrecht to understand. I didn't understand all of the previous things. You tried to alert me.
Yes.
And I was going back and forth to both you and Utrecht trying to get a reading on it. And I even said at a meeting, I felt like a kid whose parents are having a separation. I don't know what side to take. But as it became apparent to me that part of the hatred of Amy seemed to be the dynamic philosophy by which to run a station. Mm-hmm. And I once said to Utrecht, you can't run a station based on hating one person. And then she started doing a whole tirade about Amy, and I said, "That you haven't heard a word I said. That's not a philosophy. That's an anger, a vengeance, and you haven't even explained that."
Hmm.
But there was a combination of things. It was Utrecht's need for control, some of the board people wanting to sell the station, and also some of the centrist wing of the Democratic Party being very unhappy about BAI's position, giving Nader too much time and holding us responsible for an election which they should have won on their own.
Combined with some board members who saw visions of sales dancing in their heads.
But the sales, yeah. So what you had is three negative components which found each other in a single period of time. Personal ambition and revenge on one part, selling of the station on another part for money, and then political intrusions, all of which made us realize that we were in a very important position, that they would, so many powerful people would go to so much trouble to try to oust us.
Yeah. I remember early on in the game, because, by the way, for those who don't know, I received at about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning via a messenger, a letter of termination. I was told that if I came up to the radio station, Sharan Harper and I were told if either one of us came up to the radio station, we would be arrested. And then for several months, my things had been confiscated inside of the station, and I had no access to them. In the meantime, many people took the liberty of selecting from my personal belongings those things that they wanted, and they took them, read some personal correspondence to me, some of which I heard mention over the ear at several points. People might not have known, they, you know, didn't say exactly what it was, but enough was said to let me know that they had been reading the mail. That can make you a little warm around the
house. Also, the fact in 13 months they managed to lose $5 million, one of the most extraordinary mismanagements in the history of radio, that they had not a leg to stand on because they were fiscally, had taken a station which had was $500,000 in the black before they took over, or a network, and they ran it into the ground with total mismanagement.
Yeah.
No accounting of the books.
Well, you know, folks were going to hotels and paying $500 a night for
renting cars.
Renting luxury cars. In fact, we even had to go after one of the executives here and retrieve the luxury car even after they had left the position. They kept holding onto the car. There were trips to Trinidad where, folks stayed in very expensive hotels. You know, I remember Mario Murillo, who was also trying to work out what was going on during that time, had a program in the morning, and there were several people in the studio, and they were talking about whether or not I would accept coming back if Utrice would let me come back. And I said at that time, no, Utrice has to leave. Because in order for things to be right, they had to be reversed. So whoever got positions at that particular time, because of the coup, these were ill-gotten gains, and they had to be reversed. And that was my belief.
I argued for you to come back at the beginning. It took me a few months to realize that it was in... that it was an untenable position. But at first I thought your being there would resolve the problem, but I was naive.
Well, you know...
It was difficult to believe that somebody I knew and liked could have been so evil. That was the part of it. I was naive.
And what happened was so bizarre. I mean, you can't blame anybody for not, looking at it and saying this can't really be happening.
Well, I understand coups now because it is difficult when you're working with somebody and you respect them and you like them. You don't want to see that kind of behavior. It was very disillusioning and tough for me to go through that transition. I don't mean to make it a personal thing. Everybody went through their own thing.
And it was and you personally felt it, including
betrayed,
the political
betrayed,
stuff. Definitely betrayed.
And the political thing became horrible.
Yeah.
You know,
and the treatment of Amy on air was and off air was brutal.
Well, which is the reason why she's not here today, why they've relocated. But our listeners were, I got to give it to most of them, even though many of them were confused about what went on. They were not confused about what they were hearing on a daily basis. And many of them responded to that. But, you know, one of the things that I always talk about when I speak to groups, especially in the black community,